We're not breaking away from what we have been talking about. We're continuing in it, in the sense that before a person gets ready to go down in the water, now remember, the plan of salvation starts with repentance. John said he came to bear witness of the light, the true light. And if you go over there really quick, if John's message was a message of repentance, trying to get the people ready, if you look at John, St. John chapter number 1, 1 and verse number 6, St. John chapter number 1, starting at verse number 6, says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Jesus is the light, that all men through him might do what? Believe. He wants you to believe. He wants you to believe. Now, in repentance, repentance is trying to get your mind. The goal of repentance is to get your mind in a position to do what to Jesus? Believe in him. That's all the Lord wants you to do, is take him at his word and believe him. He wants you to trust him. You, if you look, I believe, I don't know if I have it on that paper, on this paper here. You see that word trust? That in there, he wants you to trust him. Jesus gives you his word, which is the scriptures, but he wants you and I to trust his word. You say, well, Scudder, how in the world will I know I'm trusting Jesus? When you find that once he says something, you're willing to do what? Commit your will and your way of living to pleasing Jesus. Jesus says, I want things done this way. You're willing to say, let me stop doing it the way that I'm doing it. Let me start doing it the way that Jesus says for it to be done. I'm willing to commit. And what else does it say? Commit my will and my way of living to pleasing Jesus. In other words, doing what Jesus would have me to do. Living the way Jesus would have me to live. Saying things Jesus would have me to say. Then and only then can I say, I really believe in Jesus. All right? Now we notice John's message, if you look at John, what I say, 1 in verse number 7, it said the same came for a what? A witness. This is what you and I are doing. When you have the Holy Ghost, you are a what? A witness. You are a witness to that person or someone that does not know Jesus. Whoever they are, you are a witness to them. You're giving them what thus saith the Lord. You're not only just giving it to them, you're showing them what Jesus can do for you in your life, right? You're a witness to them that Jesus' word says this and says that. And you're showing them, I have changed my life. I have changed my way of doing things to focus on pleasing Jesus. They say, well, why are you doing all of that? I'm doing this because I believe in Jesus. And I'm trying to share Jesus with you so that you can do what? Believe in Jesus. That's what a witness does. That's what a witness does. A witness, when someone is on trial and the attorney is trying to get their witnesses lined up, they want all of the witnesses to make sure they say something to support their client. I'm not going to put nobody on the stand that's going to make my client look bad. Because I want someone to witness to their defense. I want somebody to witness as to what their view is. Well, what do you think? The same thing is true about Jesus. Jesus doesn't want nobody to say that they believe in him, but then out there doing what they want to do. Because Jesus said, no, I don't want that. I want you to be a witness unto me. And this witness starts with you doing what? Believing in him. That's what John was basically trying to get the people to do, was just simply take what I am saying and believe in Jesus. Take what the Lord is saying through his spokesman and just believe in him. Now, if you notice at the top of your paper there, you have there in the book of Mark, chapter number 16, 15 through 16. What does it say there? Yeah. You see that? Go ye into all of the world. Right? This is Jesus talking towards the end of his time here on earth. He is telling his disciples to go ye into all of the world and do what? Preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the message of Jesus. It talks about Jesus' birth, his life, his teaching, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promised return. That's what you find in the Gospels. If you look at the Gospel according to Matthew, according to Mark, according to Luke, according to John, you're going to find everything that I just said in those writings. So it is the message of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is telling us to go into the world and do what? Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Anybody that's out there that is looking for a way out of darkness. Because John says he was a witness that Jesus is the light. That's what John said. I am a witness that Jesus is the light. Now, the world couldn't see Jesus because they were in darkness. The whole world lies in darkness. So our witness is that Jesus is the light to this dark world. So in other words, if you want to get out of darkness, Jesus is your way out of darkness. That's the truth, saints. That's our witness. That is our testimony. We don't have another formula. We don't have another way. Only way we know is that Jesus is the answer to darkness. Huh? I don't care how thick darkness is. I don't care how bad darkness is. Jesus is the answer to darkness. Why is he the answer, Elder Scudder? Because he's the light. According to the scripture, John says, I am a witness to bear witness of the light. Right? Is that what it say? I am here to bear witness of the light, that all men through him may do what? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's all we just want you to believe in Jesus. And belief is not just saying, I believe. No. Belief means you're learning to trust Jesus. You're willing to do what? Commit your way of doing things, your way of thinking to Jesus. That's when you really believe in Jesus. Well, I say, Elder Scudder, hold up. Then that something is wrong then. Everybody is not a believer. Everybody don't believe in Jesus. Everybody don't believe Jesus is the light. Everybody don't believe that the world is in darkness. They say, oh no, Elder Scudder, I know it's bad out here, but it's still pretty good. Well, then you really not believing. If you don't believe, ain't nothing in that world but sin and death. You know you're going to have a problem with Jesus' teaching. Because Jesus is telling you that he is the light. In other words, he's the only light. There are no substitutes. And when he fills you with the Holy Ghost, he expects you to be a light. Right? He expects you to allow you. He expects you to get yourself out the way and let him come on the inside of you and shine through you. That's the truth. That's what he tell you. You are the light of the world. And how in the world is your light shining if you don't have no Jesus? Right? Your light can't shine without Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the light. Right? Come on. Verse number 9 say he's the true light. Huh? That's the truth. He is the true light. He is the true light. In other words, John in verse number 8 says, I am not the light. Come on, saints, that's the truth. You got to move yourself out the way and realize you are not the light. I shine because of Jesus. Right? That's the truth. I shine because of Jesus. Jesus is the light. We sing that song, Jesus the light that shineth in me. It is not me, but it is Jesus. When the world is seeing too much of me, that means I'm not believing in Jesus like I ought to. Why? Because if I'm believing in Jesus, that means I'm trusting in him. That means I'm moving myself out the way. I'm letting his will, his way be shown up in my life, right? I'm doing things the way Jesus would have it be done. I'm saying things the way Jesus would have it to be said. I'm living the way Jesus would have me to live. That's then and only then can I say I believe. That's the truth. That's why we give you what thus saith the Lord. We give you what the word say, because we want you to believe in the word. I don't want you to believe in me. I want you to believe in what Jesus says. I want you to go when someone says this and that about your way of living, about your way of thinking. I want you to be able to fall back on what does the word say. That's why it's important for you to know the word and memorize that word. Because that's why the writer told you to hide that word in your heart. Right? It need to be hidden down inside of your heart. Why? So that when it's time for it to come out, when it's time for you to share what you believe, you can tell somebody. Right? That's right. Somebody come up to you and say, oh, I've been baptized, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Your job is to say, is the witness about Jesus. That lets you know they are telling you, I'm in darkness. And why are you in darkness? Because of my belief. What is your belief? I believe I can be baptized, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Well, my belief is that Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. My belief is Father, Son, Holy Ghost are titles that represent Jesus. And salvation only comes through the name of Jesus. That's the truth. That's my belief. Well, I have to have scripture to back that up. So when I say, well, I believe that Jesus is God, well, I had to go back when it says John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That is showing the world that Jesus is God. That's the truth. My belief is in what he says in the scripture. Therefore, I share it. I teach it. Right? That's to show you really are believing in it. That's the truth, saints. You're showing the world that Jesus is the true light. According to verse 9, says that was the true light. Which lighteth who? Every man. And if you looked at verse 4, what does verse 4 say?
In him was life.
And the life was the what? Now, you all are not going to be able to pay attention to that child if you're going to get the word. I'm going to tell you that flat-footed. All right? In him was what? Life. And the life was the what? Was the light of men. Next verse.
And it says the life was the light of men.
Yes.
And also Jesus.
Verse 5. The light shined in what? Darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. See, that's the problem with the world. You've got to believe that the world lies in darkness. And because they're in darkness, they have a comprehension problem. They're not going to understand the light. But it is up to those that have been called to be a witness about the light to open up their understanding. One scripture, if you go over there in your papers, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, I believe, in verse 3. What it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world have done what? And that's why they have a comprehension problem. Because the God of this world is blinding their what? Their mind. It is up to us to show them Jesus is the light.
In other words, Jesus is the cure to your comprehension problem. Only way you can get out of that thing where your mind is all mixed up is you have to have Jesus, right? That's the truth. You be too involved with the God of this world, your mind is going to be messed up. That's why your mind is darkened. According to this scripture, if the gospel is what? Is hid. Huh? That's the truth. You hear somebody say, oh, I can be baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That lets you know the gospel is what? Hid. You hear somebody constantly saying, God this, God that, God this, God that. They're letting you know that the gospel is hid. Huh? If you say, well, I just got to, but that's not true. Yes, it is. If you know who Jesus is, you would use his name. You wouldn't keep saying God this, God that. Why? Because you know God has a name. He took the time to give the human a name which is above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to do what? Bow. Not the name God, not the title God, but at the name Jesus. At the name of Jesus. In that name, the people put their trust in that name. Scripture said there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? All of it is in that what? In that name. So if that gospel is here to them that are what? See, they're talking to you to let you know they are lost. Huh? They may carry that Bible around and can quote from front to back, but you just listen to them, see what comes out of them, see what comes out of their life. If their life just keeps bringing forth darkness, they're trying to tell you, even though I'm talking about the light, darkness is in control, huh? Darkness is in control and it's confusing me, huh? Come on, the scripture says that they don't comprehend it, huh? According to St. John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, what does it say? Yes, the light did what? The light shined in darkness. And darkness did what? They're trying to tell you they have a comprehension problem. But it is up to me to bear witness of the light. Huh? If you go to verse number 7, verse number 7, what does it say? It is up to me to bear witness of the light. I have to tell people about the light. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. Huh? Darkness is thick. Darkness seeks to control. Darkness is always trying to overcome the light. But you've got to let Jesus work in you. One thing I've learned, when you look at the beginning in Genesis 1, darkness was thick. Genesis 1 and 2, it says, and what does Genesis 1 and 2 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the what? See that? You see, darkness wants to control. If darkness represents sin, darkness means sin wants to control. Sin wants to keep making your life void. Y'all know what void means? Meaning it's not productive. It's not producing anything. In other words, you're not moving forward. You seem to be stuck. Huh? Come on. And when you're stuck, I don't care what you do, you cannot move. Huh? You're in the same position that you were in year after year, day after day. Why? Because you're stuck. You're void. You're not productive. Meaning you look like Genesis 1 and 2, where darkness has overcome you. Huh? Darkness is in control. Darkness has got the upper hand. You are being defeated by darkness. Well, there's only one that can overcome darkness. That's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light, right? That's the truth. And the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. What did that light do? It overcame the darkness. Huh? Oh, yeah, that light. When Jesus said, let there be light, and there was light, there was no more darkness. Y'all know that? The whole world was light. The whole entire world was light. Then he said, let me control this light. I'm going to have a greater light govern the day and a lesser light govern the night. But it, regardless of whether you go in the day or in the night, you still got light. Huh? Ain't that the truth? That lets you know, where, regardless of where you are at in your test or your trial, when you have Jesus, you have light. And that light ought to show up. Huh? It ought to show up and it ought to shine. Huh? And you can't look to the world to help you to understand that light. You need to know it's Jesus inside of you. Jesus is the one that has given you the ability to shine in your good day and in your bad day. When you're up and even when you're down. Huh? When you have defeated your test and when your test, it feels like it's defeating you. Jesus has still got to be the light, right? That's the truth. When your copper, when that thing of you not understanding a thing sets in your mind, and we all get there. You all get to that point sometimes when things just get, you know, boggled down in your mind. And you say, I just don't understand this. What is that a sign to let you know? Darkness is in me. Darkness is trying to do what? Huh? Come on, darkness is trying to blind my mind. Huh? That's the truth. Scripture said that the dark, what is that in verse number 5? The light shines in the darkness. Huh? The light is shining. In other words, Jesus is showing you the way. Jesus is showing you his way of doing things. But you've got to move yourself out of the way. Say, Elder Scott, I don't understand. What are you talking about? In other words, Jesus is showing you a path that you must make, a path that you must take. But you have to move your way of doing it out of the way. In other words, I can't put my plan on top of Jesus' plan. If I do that, the plan becomes confusing. Huh? It don't make sense. Huh? I can't perform it. I can't understand it. Huh? Jesus is not going to move his out the way. You've got to move yours out the way. It is yours that is dark. Jesus is the light, right? It's mine that is dark. It's mine that is causing the confusion. Huh? According to verse number 5. Huh? Verse number 5 says it.
And the light shining in darkness.
The light is there shining in your dark world. Huh? The light is there shining in our dark world. And what's the problem? The darkness don't understand it. Huh? Yeah. The darkness that's trying to take root inside of your mind. The darkness that may have been controlling you all of your life, it don't understand what Jesus is showing you. Huh? But you got to say within yourself, I'm no longer going to trust in the darkness. Huh? I made up my mind. I'm going to trust the light. Huh? Why? Because the light got the best interest for me. Huh? The light has come to give me life, right? Darkness ain't giving you no life, but the light has come to give you life, right? According to that verse, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light shined in darkness. Now, if light represents life, look at verse number 5. Light represents life. Darkness represents death and void. So I can take the word life and put that in verse number 5. And the life shineth in death. Huh? In death and void. Huh? And death and void doesn't understand it. Huh? The death and the void don't understand life. Huh? Oh yeah, that's the truth. You show folk how to live. You show them. The Lord's word is showing you and I how to live. But the world don't understand it. It don't make sense to them. It is, according to the scripture, they are not able to comprehend it. Huh? It's just not registering in their brain. And they don't understand, why is it not registering in my brain? Because the God of this world has blinded your mind. Huh? According to the scripture, if the gospel is hid, if Jesus is the gospel, the God darkness. Why are you in darkness? Because the God of this world has done what? Blinded your mind. He don't want you to live. Huh? Y'all understand that, Satan? Saints? Satan don't want you to live. Huh? He don't want you to have no life. He wants your life to stay confusing. Huh? He don't want your life to make sense. He wants you to do stuff that don't make sense. Huh? Stuff that just don't add up. Huh? Oh, yeah, that's the truth. He loves for you to operate in that. Why? Because you confused and you look confused. And everybody else know you confused. Huh? And the devil is happy with you. Because everybody else see you stuck, but you don't see you stuck. Huh? Everybody else sees you're not moving forward, but you don't see you not moving forward. And what do you have to conclude? The God of this world is doing what? He's blinding my mind. Huh? He's blinding my mind. That's all he's doing. He's blinding my mind. And that he knows if you get a good mind, you're going to be a dangerous person. A saint that got a mind to live for Jesus is a dangerous person to Satan and his army. Huh? Come on. Do you realize the type of threat you are to Satan in your neighborhood when you got a mind to live for Jesus? Huh? When you got a mind not to participate in all of the darkness that is going on, but you got a mind to show Jesus through this all this darkness. Huh? Oh, yeah, you are a threat to Satan. Huh? You are a threat to him. Why? Because every time you walk in your neighborhood, all those people see is the light. And that light is condemning them. According to the scripture, folk don't want to come into the light lest their deeds are reproved. They rather stay in the darkness. Huh? But you got to make it up in your mind, I'm not going into the darkness. Just because you want to stay, I'm not going into the darkness. Why? Because darkness represents death, right? Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have what? Life. Lord don't want me to die. He wants me to live. Huh? Ain't that the truth? Lord don't want you to die. He wants you to live. And you got to make it up in your mind, I want to live. I'm going to do the things that support life. Huh? That's the truth. I'm not going to do things that support death. That's why the Lord told us, according to that book in Mark, what does Mark say? Mark said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Huh? He that does what? Come on, saints. We're going to come across people that are going to believe. We are. They got to believe. They got to believe. When you show them the darkness and you show them that you are walking in the light, they got to believe. They can't doubt what they see. Huh? They can't doubt what they see. They can't doubt what they feel. Huh? Come on. I'm talking to every saint. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to let you know what's inside of you. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got the light inside of you. And you can't let darkness overcome your light. You got to let your light shine. Jesus said, let it so shine. Huh? Don't be ashamed of who you have. Huh? Don't be ashamed of what you represent. You represent doing things the right way. Not just in word, but also in deed. I want to do what's right. I want to say what's right. I want to do what's right. I want to think what's right. Why? Because Jesus is a righteous judge that's going to judge the world by righteousness. I want to be right, right? Does that make sense? So I can't let the darkness overcome the light. No, 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 no. You got to make it up in your mind. I cannot let the darkness overcome the light, but I got to let the light overcome the darkness. And the light is the life. I got to be about things that are going to help me live. Huh? Not cheat me out of life. I seen so one sister, she put on there, she was looking at the Facebook one time, and she put on there, she's sure enough learning how to live. And I kept saying to myself, how in the world can you say that you're learning how to live and you left Jesus? That don't add up. She's showing pictures of herself so happy, smiling. But she say, I'm learning how to live. It don't add up. You left Jesus. See how the devil will confuse your mind? He make you think you're doing right when you're doing wrong. He'll make you think you're living when you're actually a dying. Huh? That devil knows just what he is doing. How do you know that? That is going to look at Adam and Eve. The devil knew the day that they ate of that fruit, they were going to surely die. Why? Because Jesus told them that. But look at what he said out of his mouth. You won't surely die. He knew he was lying. Jesus says he's a liar. He's a murderer, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Why? Because he abode not in the truth. When he speaks a lie, right? And you, if you ain't careful, you'll follow right behind him. And both of you are going into the ditch, right? You say, I just got to why there's so many people going to hell? Because people are believing the lie. They're believing the lie rather than the truth. Truth hurts. Oh, yeah, truth hurts. Truth makes you look at yourself. Huh? Truth calls you out. Huh? Look at Adam and Eve. Truth will make you feel ashamed. Yes, it will. Adam and Eve, when truth came in that midst, truth called Adam by his name. And what did Adam do? He tried to hide himself. But truth demanded something out of him. Truth demanded you fess up. Acknowledge what you're doing. Truth called him out. Adam, where are you? Adam said, I hid myself. Why did you hide yourself? Because I was naked. Jesus said, did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat of? Truth hurts, doesn't it? Truth calls you out and makes you look at yourself. Huh? Oh, yes, it does, saints. Truth does that to everybody. Nobody is exempt from truth. When you come in the presence of Jesus, you come in the presence of truth. And truth makes you look at yourself. Sometimes it'll make you put your head down. Huh? But it don't change the truth. Huh? Truth will make you acknowledge where you're coming up short. But that your acknowledgement, it does not change the truth. Truth says you need to change. And you got to be willing to do what? Trust Jesus and make the necessary changes. Why? So that you can live in truth, right? Lord don't want you to live in no lie. He wants you to live in truth. Look at the next set of scriptures. John chapter number 12, starting at verse number 42. Yes? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? These chief rulers. You mean to tell me these people that were teaching against Jesus, many of them people, when Jesus got finished talking, what did they do? They believed on him. Huh? But well, let's see what the problem is.
Because of the Pharisees.
Huh?
They did not confess.
In other words, they didn't want to acknowledge the truth.
Right.
When you come around truth, truth makes you acknowledge something. Huh? Oh, yeah. You know you out there lying? When truth come in your midst, you say, look, I done told a lie. Huh? I ain't living like I'm supposed to live. Huh? You don't be skating around it. You don't be trying to dodge it and pretty it up. Why? Because truth is in your midst. And truth is demanding that you confess. Huh? Truth is demanding that you do what? Acknowledge. And that wasn't that David's problem? David's problem when he came around Nathan. Nathan was truth, and David kept trying to hide the truth. David said, surely that kind of fella deserves this and deserves that. But what didn't David understand? David didn't understand the truth was talking to him. It wasn't talking to another fella. It was talking to him. But because David didn't want to acknowledge truth, he kept trying to dodge the bullet, right? But then you get the 51st Psalm. When you realize David realized he was fighting a losing battle. He was only confusing himself. He said Jesus desires truth from the inward parts. Huh? Then that's why David says, I just can't be skating around this thing. I acknowledge my transgressions. Huh? That's what that confession looks like. I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge where I am wrong. In other words, I'm tired of trying to show you you're wrong. I need to tell what I'm doing wrong. Huh? I acknowledge my transgression. Huh? And I'm keeping my wrong in front of me. Why are you keeping it in front of you? So I won't be a habitual sinner. I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again. I need the Lord to get me out of this stuck state. Huh? I'm tired of being stuck. I want to be productive, right? I'm tired of being void. I want the Lord to move me forward, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
You might as well look at this like it is. You need to know when you stuck. Huh? You need to know when you ain't moving like you need to move. Huh? Lord done told me Holy Ghost is joy, peace, and righteousness. And if I ain't feeling it, I don't even want to keep on talking about Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. You ain't feeling it. What's good to talk about if you ain't feeling it? Holy Ghost wants to be in you and alive. Huh? It wants to move up and down inside of you, right? That's the truth. Holy Ghost want to move up inside and down you. Say, Elder Scott, I'm trying to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm trying to tell you, Holy Ghost want to come into you. Oh, yeah, you calling on that saving name. That saving name wants to come into you. Well, Elder Scott, I'm calling on his name, but you got to believe in him. Huh? You got to believe in the name that you're calling on. Huh? What do you mean you got to believe? You got to trust in him. Trust in him in such a way that you're willing to commit your life to Jesus. Huh? You're willing to live to please who? Jesus. Huh? Oh, yeah, saints, that's the truth. That means you got to do some soul searching. You got to be willing to just do some serious soul searching. Huh? Are you believing Jesus at your home? Are you believing Jesus in your car? Are you believing Jesus on your job? Are you believing Jesus in the street? Are you believing him all in your mind? Huh? Oh, yes, Elder Scott, I believe. Well, then you should be seeing your life change. You should be getting out of that stuck state. And you should be moving forward. Why? Because when you believe the Lord, he will speak to you. What will he speak? He'll say, let there be light. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, right? Darkness didn't want to let it go. Y'all know that? Darkness didn't want to let this world go. But there was power in the voice of Jesus. According to that 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Go over there really quick. If our gospel be hid, is hid unto them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do what? Believe not. Why does that devil want me to stay in a state of unbelief? He does not want that light. Huh? To do what? To shine. What kind of light? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Huh? Jesus is God's image. He don't want the real God to get into you. He wants you to keep that fake God inside of you. That God, it ain't got no power, right? But once you get the real God in you, he's got power, right? The real God got power. Real God got authority. And when he speaks, he makes stuff change. Huh? Oh, yes, he does. When Jesus speaks, he makes stuff change. Huh? How do you know, Elder Scott? Go ask the creation in the beginning. The creation was dark and void. Huh? But God's spirit got in that creation. Huh? That scripture said the spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, right? And that writer there in Corinthians says, he commanded the light to do what? And that's
light.
That's how it got into you. So that lets you see, what does the light want to do? It want to get into you. Huh? It wants you to move your dark ways out of the way and let the light come away in you. But there has to be a desire. You got to be willing to let the light do what? You got to be willing to let the light do what? Come on into me. You can't half step with this. You got to be serious. You got to say, oh, no. I don't want any ounce of darkness in me. I don't want any speck of darkness in me. I want the Lord to speak to every void, unproductive, confusing way that is in me. I want the Lord to speak to everything that don't make no sense. And I want him to make it make sense. Huh? And when he calls it out, you say, Lord, I see it. I see it. Huh? I see just what you're saying. Lord, I believe you now. Help my unbelief, right? Lord, I believe you now. Do what? Help my unbelief. Huh? Did they all discover? Yeah. When you see it, it's nothing pretty to look at. Some of that stuff is horrible. But the Lord's showing it to you. You got to acknowledge what you see. Huh? And you got to keep that thing, what, right before you. Why? Because you ain't doing nothing but cheating yourself. Do you realize darkness wants to do what? Control you. According to the scripture, it wants to keep your mind blinded. And, you know, call it for who it is. Who is it? It ain't nobody but the devil. The devil is the only one that wants your mind to be dark. He doesn't want you to see the light. Huh? That's the truth. The devil don't want you to see a good thing that is right before you. Huh? Living for Jesus is a good thing. I mean, having the Holy Ghost is a good thing. You living right is a good thing. You having peace of mind, that's a good thing. I'm not missing out on nothing. Not when I got Jesus. When I got Jesus, I'm not missing out on anything. No matter how the devil try to show me this, I'm not missing out on nothing. Why? Because I got the best inside of me. They'll be trying to show you little things every now and then. Show you people have nice cars. He said, man, what are they doing that I'm not doing? They show you houses. What? Why are they able to get this and I'm not able to get it? Show you nice clothes. Why they got these clothes and I'm struggling to buy the clothes I got? Show you money. Oh, I got all the money. I ain't got to hold up. I'm feeling it when I'm putting 20 on the table. Huh? But I'm trying to tell you, that devil is setting it up. He's trying to make you look at something and see something that really ain't real. What do you mean, Elder Scotty? He's showing you darkness. Huh? He's showing you real thick darkness. And what you're saying is moving forward is really void. How you know it's void? Let's deal with the reality. You come into the world with what? Huh? And you leave. Huh? See, the devil ain't going to show you that. He show you the cars, the houses, the clothes, all of the going to this, going to that. But he don't show you the reality. The reality is they going to die with a zero. Huh? All their money, all their cars, all their pictures, all their videos. It's going to stay. Y'all ever see that fella DMX? That fella dead. Y'all understand this? Now, he got about 20-something kids. He got about 20-something children. He's dead. But where are his kids at? Huh? Did all these rap songs, singing all these songs, but he's dead. Where's all his music at? Huh? All the money from the policies and the contracts, he's dead. But where's all that at? Huh? They rode him around in a big old truck, big old tires, coming through the city. Hey, 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 right? The truck is still here, but he's dead. Huh? So that lets you see the Lord, his word is true. You come in here with zero and you leave with zero, right? But what did the darkness do? It clouded his mind. It made him think, I got to have 20. I got to sleep with all of these women. Huh? To say that I'm doing what? Living. Huh? Come on. I'm just being honest. The product is there. The children are evidence, right? Well, where his thinking was at, I've got to do this because this is living. And darkness was controlling it because darkness didn't show him that all of that was what? Void. It was not a step forward because what did he carry with him? Nothing. Sad thing is you say, well, where in the world is this soul? Huh? Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to deal with that fact, that reality. Where is your soul? Huh? Scripture say, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Huh? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, huh? He is none of his. Huh? Except or unless a man is born again of both water and spirit, he cannot see nor can he enter into the kingdom of God. Those are the facts, right? Those are the facts. Hell is enlarging herself. She's opening up her mouth without measure. Who's going there? The mean man. The mighty man. All of his pomp. Huh? All of his glory is descending down into it, right? Huh? Oh, Elsgar, what you talking about? I don't understand. All liars. All idolaters. All whoremongers. All adulterers. Huh? Shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death, whosever name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire, right? How long shall they be there? The beast and the false prophet will be there with them day and night, burning for how long? Forever and ever, right? That's got to be in your mind. That's got to be in your mind. Oh, yeah, saints, that's the truth. Come on, get me back over there to that scripture there in John 12. Them folk didn't want to believe. They believed, but they didn't want to confess. Huh? They didn't want to go through what repentance requires. Repentance requires some confession. Repentance requires you acknowledging what you're doing wrong. Huh? And not just talking it. But you got to be willing to do something about it. Huh? That's the truth. You think about that lady that was at Harley? That was about to be stoned to death? Huh? And the Lord, they said, Lord, this lady was caught in adultery. Huh? And the very ones shaming her slept with her. Huh? Oh, yeah, call it out for what it is. It just wasn't their turn. Huh? But they knew. They knew who she was. Why? Because they were guilty of doing the very same thing. Who could know such a thing like this? The Lord God Almighty. The one who says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the rein. Jesus knew just what to say and when to say it. What did the Lord righteous judge say? He said, ye who are without sin, you cast the first stone. Lord didn't tell him not to throw the rock. He said the only one that can really throw it is the one that is without sin. Scripture said one by one. One by one. They dropped their rocks and walked away. What was she doing? She stood by the righteous judge all by herself, right? Righteous judge looked at her. And asked her a question. Where are your accusers? Huh? Where are your accusers? In other words, it is already known who you are. But where are your accusers? In other words, what I need to move past acknowledging my wrong. Huh? Huh? See, the accusers try to make you feel guilty. The accusers try to make you feel down. Huh? That's why I tell you, saints, don't you be no accuser. Once you see somebody has fallen, do everything you can do to help them get back up. But do not be no accuser. Accuser is one that like to point fingers and put blame on folk. Don't you be that way. Why? Because a person can't get restored as long as you keep on accusing them. But what did Jesus do? Jesus moved her past the guilty feeling. Huh? He says it's time for you to get up. Stop feeling guilty. Where are your accusers, right? And they were all gone. Huh? The Lord looked at her, said, though your sins be many, this is what I'm telling you. Flat-footed, they are forgiven you. Now go. In other words, get up. Make the necessary change. Go and sin. How much? Don't wean your way off of it. Go and do what? Stop it. See, repentance means to stop doing the wrong. Go and sin no more. Say within yourself, this is not who you are. This is not me anymore, right? And go and live like that. And everybody try to bring you back into it, recognize there's nobody but the devil. It's nobody but darkness trying to overcome the light that has implanted itself in me, right? That light that has implanted itself in me said, do what? Go and sin no more. So when people start trying to bring the darkness back to you, what are they trying to do? They're trying to cover up that light. Lord said, I didn't give you that light for you to put it up under no table. I didn't give you that light to put it up under no bush. I told you to put that light up on a table. Put it on the top of it. Let it shine. You are a city on top of a hill. Come on, saints, that's the truth. Lord wants you to shine. In other words, be glad that you are the light, right? Be glad. Be thankful. Live with an appreciation that Jesus brought you out of that dark state and gave you a mind to do what? Walk. Is that what Peter says? Go over to Peter, chapter number 2. Really quick, I'm going to let y'all get ready to go. Y'all see I had a whole lot, but that's all right. Whatever I don't get to, we'll get back to it. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 2 and start at verse number 9. Don't forget who you are. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. What are you? You're just not anybody. You're supposed to be holy. Holy means sanctified. You're supposed to be set apart to be used by Jesus. I was talking to Brother Hyman, I think, the other last night. And I said that, you know, this is where people don't want to come up to the table and, you know, come up and acknowledge this thing. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost is not coming in because we're not sanctified. You all know what sanctified means? It means to be set apart, to be used by Jesus. In other words, you got to stop using this life for you. And this life has got to be Jesus-centered. It's got to be Jesus all day long. What are you talking about? Elder Scott, it's got to be Jesus all day long. When you wake up, it's got to be Jesus. Everything in between you going to bed and getting up has got to be Jesus. What are you talking about? I can't play rhythm and blues to fall asleep. I can't do it. Why? Because I need to keep my mind on Jesus. If I'm going to play anything, it's got to be Jesus. Or don't play anything at all. When I'm shutting my eyes, I'm shutting my eyes with my mind on Jesus. I am going to bed saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's all in my mind. When I wake up and see the next day, I am saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting up. I may touch my head. My head may hurt. I may say, Jesus, touch my head, Jesus. My head is not feeling well, Jesus. Stomach is bothering. Jesus, touch my belly, Jesus. My stomach is off, Jesus. Got to get up. I'm tired, Jesus. Give me the strength to get out of this bed, Jesus. And get in that shower. Turn the shower on. Get out the water here. Jesus, getting out of bed, putting my shoes on, out of my clothes, Jesus, got a song down and said, I was glad, it's another day's journey, and I'm so glad, world can't give me no, come back here, Lord, come back, well, my mind is on Jesus, all day long, it's got to be Jesus, right? Sanctified. You got to be sanctified. You got to set yourself aside to be used by Jesus. Say, Elder Scott, but I thought I did it. If you did it, you'd be saved. That means you got to do some more sanctifying. What happened with Moses when Moses and them had finished the temple? And they were looking for the cloud to rest on the tabernacle. Moses put the stuff the way he thought it should be. He put it there and he ran back outside. And when he got outside, he looked up and he noticed the cloud did not come back. Moses could have sat outside and said, I give up. I don't understand what the problem is. But that wasn't going to get that cloud down. Moses had to go back into the tabernacle and look at the blueprint. Said, the table needs to be over here. Jump back out again. Cloud still ain't moved. Go back inside again. Look at the blueprint. What in the world is wrong? Lord told us to be a centimeter away from the wall. Oh, Lord, we got 1 inch off. Here we go. Go back out there again. Still off. What's going on? Lord said, you got to show one side of the cross. Oh, man, y'all didn't show the other side. Move it over again. Jump back outside again. Y'all realize he had to keep doing this over and over again? Huh? And he was not satisfied until he got outside and he saw the cloud come down. When the cloud came down, he said, it's done. Huh? The Lord is happy, right? That's what sanctification looks like. You got to keep working at this thing until it's done right. And you cannot be satisfied until it gets right. And how will you know it's right? Because the glory of the Lord. Huh? The glory of the Lord will rest on it, right? That's how you know you'll receive the Holy Ghost. Because the cloud won't be hovering over you. The cloud will actually do what? Rest. Huh? It'll rest on you what? Suddenly. Is that what Acts chapter number 2 says? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. Huh? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Meaning the sacrifice was accepted, right? Huh? How do you know Elijah got the power from on high? Because Elijah called on his God. And how did his God answer? His God answered by fire. It burnt up the rocks. Chopped up the water, burnt up the sacrifice, burnt all them little demons that was around it. Why? Because Jesus was in it, right? Huh? That's how you know your sacrifice will be right. When the Lord does what? He'll send down the fire. Huh? Oh, yeah. That's why you don't want to stop seeking the Lord until he does what? Sends down the fire. Huh? But you have to find the will to go outside of yourself. Huh? What does that mean? You need to step out of your life and look at yourself. And I mean look yourself over. Is Stephen doing everything Jesus told him to do? Huh? And call it out. Stephen, your shirt is out your pants. Get back inside of your body. Tuck your shirt in. Huh? Go back and try to put the sacrifice out. Jesus, 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 Jesus. No Holy Ghost. Got to go back to the drawing board again. Your shoestring ain't tied right. Get back into your body. You mean tell me I got to get down on your knee. Tie your shoe like your shoe need to be tied. Huh? Come back before Jesus again. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Still ain't got no Holy Ghost. Go back out there and look at yourself again. How much time? You got to keep doing that over and over again until the Lord accepts your sacrifice. How will you know he's going to accept your sacrifice? Because he will come in. Huh? Is that what the scripture says that? Said the Lord says, if any man hear my voice and open up the door, Jesus said, I will come into him, right? And sup with him, right? And he with me, right? All right. That's all to think about, isn't it? But many people believed in Jesus. According to your paper, what is that, John, chapter number 12? I'm not going to finish this up, but 12 and verse number 42. They would not confess him.
That because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, that they should be put out of the synagogue.
Why in the world were they worried about getting put out of their circle? The next verse tells you why.
But they love the praise of men.
Hold up. Huh? See, the Lord know you better than anybody else. The Lord know you. We might love something more than we love really Jesus. And the Lord done told you, you're not going to have no other God before me. I'm a jealous God, right? Isn't that something? Many people waste their whole lives trying to prove that scripture wrong. They say, oh no, I can do both. The Lord said, you can't do both. Either you're going to love one and hate the other. But you can't serve two masters. Is that what the book say? You cannot serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other. Lord is telling you, you need to make a choice. What are you going to do? How long, one writer said, how long are you going to be between two opinions? If Jesus is your God, serve him. If Baal is your God, serve him. But you need to make up your mind who you're going to serve. I'm glad I made my mind up. I made up my mind that I'm going to serve the Lord. I made up my mind that I want to live for Jesus. I've done my best to bring my children and raise my family up that way. But my children are now of age. Huh? And I have to be willing to say every now and then, either you're going to do it the way that it has been taught, or you got to go. Now, the Scotty, that ain't fair. Why isn't it fair? Didn't the Lord tell you to choose you this day? Who you going to serve? Aren't they of age to make a choice? I can't make the choice for them anymore. See, I had to force them when they were coming up. They had to come to church. Church, coming to church wasn't an option. You know, some children, some parents look at their kids and say, do you feel like going today? That wasn't how my house was operating. My mom didn't raise me that way, and I ain't raised mine that way. When one go out, all go out. Huh? We say, I got a project. Bring your project to church. Do your project on the back seat. Pray for a little bit, and do your project on that back seat. I got a test to study for. Pray for a little while, get up, study your book. That ain't right. Well, blame Jesus. If it ain't right, blame Jesus. You going to mess your children up. Well, I wasn't messed up. And when I look back over my life, I'm fine. I graduated high school. I finished college. So me coming to church all the time did not mess me up. If anything, it did me pretty good. It did me pretty good. So you got to do your part, saints. You need to choose who you're going to serve, all right? I'm going to stop here because I done gave y'all enough. We'll get back into this on next week because I want to keep working on this a little bit. You must believe. It's not an option. But belief is not enough. Because if it was, look at those Pharisees. Does the scripture say that they did not believe? They said, no, they believed. But what if they didn't follow through with their belief? Why didn't they follow through? Because it told you they didn't want to get it put out the synagogue. They loved the praises of who? Men. So belief is not enough. It's not enough. It'll get you to the door. It'll get you to the door, but it won't get you in. Huh? Oh, yeah, it'll get you to the door. Belief will get you down in the water. Belief will get you down in that water. You'll get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Belief will get you there. But if you ain't got it, you will not receive the Holy Ghost. You will not receive the Holy Ghost. You got to believe Jesus. Huh? What you talking about, Elder Scudder, is not me. It's a scripture in your Bible called Hebrews 11:6. And Hebrews 11:6 talks about what's impossible. Huh? Huh? You are fighting a mission impossible. It says without faith. Huh? Y'all understand? So that means I can be baptized. You will get baptized. Somebody will take you down in the water based upon what you say you do. I believe Jesus. Let's get on down in the water. But I'm trying to tell you, you will never, never receive the Holy Ghost without faith, right? Why? Because it's impossible. Did I say that? No, it's in your book. Without faith, it's impossible to please. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Huh? And that he's what? A rewarder. You can't half step with this. The examples that I showed you this morning is what diligently seeking Jesus looks like. It means you have to keep going back to the drawing board over and over, over and over and over. Why? Because you got a mission. You say, I need the Holy Ghost. That's your mission. You cannot give up until you do what? Get the Holy Ghost. And if it means I got to be like that woman that searched her house all night long. She lit that candle and she searched her house all night long. Looking for what? Not a whole lot. Just that one. But she was letting everyone know that one coin was important to who? Her. See, at the end of the day, that's all you need to do. You're trying to let Jesus know he is important to you. And I'm willing to make the what? Sacrifice. Huh? To show who? Not others. To show Jesus that he is what? Important to me. It's important that I be saved. It's important that I go back with Jesus when he comes. Because I realize one day he's going to call and I am going to answer. And I'm going to have to give an account for the things that I've done with in this body. Whether it's what, good, or bad, acceptable, or unacceptable. Church, you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not.